This is Angler, written by Dino Romance 89 and recorded by Tipsy Kitty. Mother always tells Edward not to swim too far into the deep, and Edward didn't mean to disobey her, really. He just followed that school of mackerel, first in hopes of catching one for dinner, then because their silvery swirling captured his attention and made him forget about everything else. But in an instant, the fish disperse, and Edward looks over his shoulder, gills fluttering and tail kicking, ready to face a barracuda or even a hammerhead. But there's no predator other than him, no sharper teeth than those in his own mouth. Instead, something massive looms below, far down where the water swallows all the colors, like a dead coral reef where Edward is certain there was none mere days ago. There's movement between the calcified turrets, and curiosity pulls him down, down, until the pressure threatens to make his swim bladder collapse. A rocky outcrop juts from the steep wall at his back, and Edward nestles himself behind it, well hidden but free to feast his eyes. The structure looks even larger up close, the bustling and scuttling creatures not cold-eyed moray eels or translucent shrimp, but merfolk, like Edward himself. Well, not quite like him. Edward's a delicate thing, his mother always says. All long arms and big eyes, his hair and scales still bearing the hue of vibrant purple that helps juveniles hide in the kelp forest that is home. But these people look vicious, burly and capable as they haul about discarded fishing nets, large metal tridents and harpoons. The silvery scars on their black-scaled tails sing of countless battles fought and won. They're dangerous, Edward thinks, and even stronger than his rotting father ever was. They're everything Edward hopes to be when he grows up. And among them, barely visible in a cavern's mouth, is one smaller figure. A boy, Edward guesses. Or perhaps a young man, grown up where the water was cooler and prey was scarce. His pale skin is dappled with scales of black and dark green, the colors of northern kelp. And he's working at something inside the cave, maybe cleaning or sharpening a weapon. Edward itches to swim closer, to ignore the crushing water and the yawning darkness, to just see. He was the sole survivor of his mother's final clutch. It's a lonely title to hold at times. So he leans forward, webbed fingers digging into the jagged rock, neck craned to get a better look at the young one. Then the lad turns his head. His profile as sharp as the coral around him, and Edward's hand slips, sending a flurry of pebbles into the deep below. Edward freezes, but the stranger doesn't cry out to his brethren, doesn't summon them to have the lurker harpooned and flayed. No, he just smiles, and it dimples his cheek, right under his eye like a crab took a bite out of him. Edward smiles back. He returns the next day. And the next, just hiding, observing, transfixed by the deft movements of small hands as the object of his interest putters around in that very same cave, polishing knives, untangling rope, scraping algae off the walls, each task more fascinating to watch than anything Edward has ever seen before. On the fourth day, the reef is nearly empty. The crew of imposing mermen must be off on a hunt, but they've left one behind, Edward's friend, as he's come to think of him, now staring unabashedly up at the rocky wall. "I know you're there," he says, his voice rough as shark skin. "Come on down. Nobody here but us now." So Edward peeks out from his hiding place, pushes off and flicks his tail, almost frantic with excitement. He swims, despite the darkness, despite the aching pressure. He swims and swims until he's reached the floating mass of coral, and finally comes face to face with his new friend. "I'm Ed," he says. "I'm sorry," the boy replies. The bottom of the reef hinges open with a tremendous creak, a sudden current sucking at Edward's gills and fins and hair. He reaches out for the other, tries to grab his shoulders, only to find him pulled back out of his grasp, dangling limp and pale in the water above. The maw beneath him opens further, bearing teeth as long as Ed is tall. A large boulder rolls back its pebbled skin to reveal a pale blue eye. It's looking right at Edward. Fine specimen, isn't he? The words are a rumble, a sea quake in Edward's bones. He screams, arms and tail flailing, looking for something to scratch or bite. But it's all out of reach. Rocky walls rippling backward, trembling with something that sounds like a deep, deep laugh. Look at you, Edward, the living reef growls. You'll make just the most gorgeous lure. Something cold slithers up the scales on Ed's back and he swats at it, twists and writhes but can't get it off. It's latched on. His strength leaves him as it breaches his skin, burns away into his cavity and wraps its slimy tendrils around his very bones. Edward thinks of his mother, and his tail lashes out one more time, thrashing uselessly before he goes still. We always welcome fresh bait here on the Ranger, the creature says. You'll learn to please your captain soon enough. Isn't that right, my little minnow? The pale boy whines and nods weakly, trembling atop the same kind of fleshy stalk that's burrowed into Edward's back. He can't move. He's so very tired. And soon he's drifting off to sleep as the great captain looks on, victorious and pleased. For he knows no greater beauty in this ocean than these two boys gently swaying in the current, unquestioning, unthinking, forever his, and forever side by side. The end.